Evening. Thank you for taking the time to watch this evening service at North Gainesville Baptist Church and our Facebook Live Sunday night service. Thank you for being a part of this and spending time with us. Hope these things have been a blessing to you, an encouragement to you, and it's been encouraging to me, even though we've gone through some difficult times, that God has been using this and blessing this, and so thankful for what God is doing even down in our midst. Let me share some announcements with you tonight. Lord willing, we are going to start our in-person church services coming up May the 17th at 10:45. It has been 2 months since we've been back to church together as a body of believers, and I am looking so much forward to that day. And if you want to know more about that day, you can hopefully go to our website. We need to email each one of our members. We have an email address. I encourage you to find out more about that. If you have any questions, definitely contact us. Also, Memorial Day on the day before that weekend, May 23rd, we're going to have a cookout. May 23rd, that's a Saturday. That afternoon, we're going to have a cookout. So look forward to that. We'll give you some more details about that as well. And we are moving our business meeting. We moved it several times. We're moving it to May the 27th at 7 p.m. Especially for our members. Let me encourage you to be here that night. We have some very important things we'd like to look at and vote on. So I'm excited about that. That's May 27th at 7 p.m. Again, thanks for watching and praying and asking God to do something even through these Facebook Live services. So tonight we're looking at a lesson in learning to focus. A lesson in learning to focus. And we're in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When evening was come, he was there alone. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, Is it a spirit? They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, I pray, God, this evening, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to focus on you. Through the storms, through the difficulties of life, may we learn the important lesson to focus on you. God, I pray you be with our country, be with our president, vice president, be with all those in leadership, Lord, nationally and locally. God, help us to uplift them in prayer through this time especially. God, I pray that you would just bless tonight. I pray that there be those who are here tonight that are discouraged or frustrated, upset, God, that you would just comfort them, that you would help them, that you would calm them, Lord. I pray for sinners who don't know you, Lord Jesus, who may stumble upon this sermon tonight, God, that they realize their only hope in the seas and troubles of life is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, God, may we focus on you. We thank you for this night, and we pray that you be glorified. Bless this sermon, Lord, and help me, Lord, as I prepare now to preach it. In Jesus' name, amen. We see, as I mentioned before, this lesson on the life of Simon Peter, the lesson on learning how to focus. We've been looking at his life for last several weeks, and I don't know about you, but I liked learning from people's mistakes or people's successes rather than having to fail my own self. It's easy to watch somebody else make a mistake and then learn from it. Because if we don't do that, we'll go through what we call the school of hard knocks. And that old school of hard knocks, like is described, is difficult. It's hard. So I'd rather learn from others' failures or successes than have to learn the hard way. But tonight we're going to learn a lesson on learning how to focus on God. First of all, tonight we see the Lord's foresight. The Lord's foresight, verses 22 through 23. See, Peter and the disciples had just witnessed one of the greatest miracles in the history of the world. We call it the feeding of the 5,000. And we know actually there was more than 5,000 there because the Bible tells us that only the men were counted. Many Bible scholars, commentators, Bible teachers believe there could be up to 20 to 22,000 people there. Now imagine that. Just with a few fish and some little bit of bread, Jesus breaks it, prays to the Father, breaks the bread and the food in there, and all this food is distributed to thousands and thousands of people. What a miraculous sight. What a miracle. The people certainly were excited. I'm sure the disciples were amazed at what Jesus had done. But in the midst of all this, Jesus constrains them, compels them, commands them, the disciples, to get to the ship. And he encourages the multitude to scatter, to go away. Why does he do that? Why? What is the why of the compelling? Well, he sends them away, first of all, because the crowd wanted him to be king. The crowd wanted him to be king. He said, where do you find that in this passage? Well, that's why it's important to compare Scripture with Scripture. John chapter 6, verse 15, also talking about this passage, the same event. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. Oh, I mean, if Jesus can pray to the Father and these few fish and a little bit of bread that would only feed probably a few men could feed thousands, why wouldn't they want him to be king? You see, they were carnal. They wanted bread. They were focused on the crown and Jesus being the king to help their temporal needs. But Jesus didn't come to be king then. He came to be crucified. He came to be the bread of life. So that they feasted on him and him alone, they could have everlasting life. They wanted a temporal solution. But Jesus came for a permanent solution. Of course, the crowd didn't understand this. And even the disciples didn't understand this. That's why Jesus sent them away. So Jesus compelled them to leave, first of all, because the crowd wanted to make him king, and secondly, because Jesus wanted to spend time in communion with his Father. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, when he had sent the multitudes away, he sent them up into a mountain apart to pray. He went up into a mountain, and to a part to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. This wasn't the first time Jesus had sent the multitude or the crowd, the disciples, away to pray. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Dear friends, if Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, needed to spend time in communion with his Father, how much more do you and I need to spend time in prayer? You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, When thou prayest, enter in thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I wonder tonight, have you spent any time on this Sunday in prayer? Have you spent any time in communion with your Father? If not, why not? And if not, will you, before maybe you go to bed tonight, would you spend some time in communion talking to your Father? Oh, I hope you will. So we see the why of the compelling. What about the where of the compelling? Where did he send them? Well, the Bible says in Mark chapter 6 and verse 45, and straightway he constrained disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side unto Bethsaida. So Jesus tells the disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He sends them to the other side of the sea, but ultimately we realize that he sends them into a storm. Matthew 14, 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Little did the disciples probably know when they got in the ship, the experiences they were going to see the miracles they were going to see that night. You see, God purposely sends us unto the other side of the sea to go through the storms of life. Yes, brother and sister in Christ, God purposely sends us into the storm. Why? Because we have to realize this evening, if we don't realize it already, that life is not about smooth seas. Life is not about smooth seas. Oh, we want smooth seas. We want beautiful days. We don't like stormy weather. But I think of the dear words of Isaac Watts. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Oh, what wondrous words by Isaac Watts. Smooth seas do not make good sailors. Smooth seas do not make good sailors. Theodore Roosevelt once wrote, I wish to preach not the doctrine of ignoble ease, but the doctrine of strenuous life, the life of toil and effort, of labor and strife. To preach, the highest form of success comes not to the man who desires mere easy peace, but to the man who does not shrink from danger, from hardship, or from bitter toil, and who out of these wins the splendid ultimate triumph. Theodore Roosevelt, during his youth, had many physical troubles, many physical ailments, but through the midst of it, he learned success is not just having an easy life, but through difficulty, through hardship, through pain, through problems, going through those things and coming out to the other side and learning the lessons that only pain and trouble and problems and storms will teach us. Yes, dear friends, we will go through the storms. The question is, what will we learn in the midst of the storm? And how will we personally react in the midst of the storm? We see the Lord's foresight, verses 22 and verse 23. But secondly, the leader's focus. The leader's focus, verses 26 through 30. Peter, as we all know, was the leader of the disciples. He was a veteran fisherman. He'd gone through a few storms. He'd seen rough seas, but he was going through probably maybe a storm that maybe he'd never been through before. And we have to realize that it's not going to be our experience. It's not going to be our ability or talent. It's not going to be our gifts that are going to get us through storms. It's going to be only as we ask the Lord to help, to provide, to take care of us, are we going to be able to go through the storms of life. Yes, Peter was experienced. He was the leader of the disciples. And he realized, I'm sure, through this time that he needed to focus on the Lord. He needed to get his mind focused on the Lord. And dear friends, when we go through storms, we need to have a right focus. We need to have a right mindset. Someone said, who or what controls your mind controls your life. Did you hear that? Who or what controls your mind controls your life. And that just basically is what the scripture tells us in Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as a man thinketh, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Tell me what you think about. I'll tell you who you are. What do you spend your time thinking about? Is all your days on worry and fear and trouble or problems? Or do you spend your time in the Word of God? That's why you hear us red-faced Baptist preachers say to you, read the Word of God, read the Word of God, read the Word of God. Because the more you focus on the Word of God, the less worry, the less fear you'll have in your life. Oh, how we need to focus. Peter focused first here on the Savior. The Bible says in verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me come into thee on the water. You see, in the midst of all this, we must realize the disciples were weary. They were tired. It was the fourth watch, the scriptures tell us. What's the fourth watch? Well, that's somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning. Now, that's early in the morning. They were weary. They were tired. They were weary because of the time. They were weary because of the tempest. The storm was sapping their strength. So the disciples were weary. The disciples were worried. The disciples saw this spirit. They saw this specter. They saw this ghost, they thought, on the sea. In the midst of the storm, the wind howling and the boat rocking, they look up and they see this specter, this spirit. And they're afraid. They're scared. We would have been the same way. How did they react? Well, in the midst of all of this, Jesus cries out to them. He says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Jesus provides a welcoming word. Jesus provides a welcoming word. Oh, dear friend, the skies might be dark tonight. The seas may be dangerous in your life. But don't get discouraged. Remember the words of our Savior. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, the world may be saying, the sky's falling. Remember the words of Jesus. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, how we need to hear the word of God. I think of Isaiah chapter 41, verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and when there is none, and the tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Think of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, Peter, in reaction to this, practice wonderful faith. Jesus says to Peter, "Come." What does Peter do? Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Peter, by faith, obeyed and actually walked on the water. Peter, Simon Peter, Cephas, was a water walker. Oh, he was a fisherman. He'd been in the seas for many years. He'd seen many spectacular things. Maybe he'd seen a great catching of the fish, as we talked about a few weeks ago. But he never, ever, maybe he dreamed about it. Maybe he fathomed it. But he never walked on water until the day, by faith, he trusted Jesus and he walked on water. When you and I, by faith, trust and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no telling what God can do in and through our lives. This is sweet. I was reading about a man by the name of Joe Boyd. He played for the Texas A&M football team. In 1939, they won the national championship. And he was actually drafted by the Washington Redskins. But he decided not to go into football because there was little money in it during those days. And he had worked in a business. And in that business, he had the opportunity to win a woman to the Lord Jesus Christ. And being so excited about that and hearing the preaching of the Word of God, even though he was saved, he had never surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And he surrendered his life to Jesus, and he went out and became an evangelist and shared the gospel with many people, and thousands of people were saved. And God used him in a great and mighty way. Be an evangelist, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he even wrote a book about it, From the Gridiron to the Gospel. God used Joe Boyd, and God will use you and I if we'll step out of the boat by faith in the middle of a storm even and trust him. By the grace of God, he can do great and miraculous things in and through our life. Yes, Peter focused on the Savior, but sadly, we know the rest of the story. Peter focused on the storm. The Bible says in verse 30, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me!'" Oh, in the middle of trusting Jesus and walking on the water, his eyes was first focused on the Lord. And he was actually walking on water. But then he turned his eyes, his gaze, his focus from Jesus. He started looking up and looking out and looking around, and he saw the wind and the waves, and they were boisterous. He became afraid, and he cried out, This simple prayer, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. You ever been there? Oh, dear friends, our surroundings can cause us, our circumstances can cause us to fear, to be afraid. Storms rarely make sense. The storms of life rarely make sense. Sometimes in the midst of a storm, we ask the question, why me? And sometimes the storms of life, they'll come up quickly. And we'll ask the question, why now? The storms of life, sometimes they don't go by quick. Sometimes they last for days or months or weeks, for years. And we'll ask the question, how long? We get worried. We get afraid. We get scared. When you and I focus on the storm instead of the Savior, we begin to sink. I mean, there have been times in my life where through just difficulty and frustration, discouragement, I begin to sink in my spiritual life. Remember one time, especially right after I became a Christian, I thought life was going to be easy. I thought life was going to be better. It was spiritually better. But outwardly, in the family and my friends, things began to change. And I met a man by the name of Brother Worthington. And Brother Worthington gave me these words of wisdom. He said, Marty, keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And oftentimes through those early days to become a Christian, I got so discouraged. Because I got my eyes on circumstances. I got my eyes on the situation. I got my eyes on the changes that I was going through in life and began to sink. But I kept being reminded by those words of Brother Worthington. Marty, keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, how important it is to keep our eyes on Jesus. This evening, we've seen the Lord's foresight, the leader's focus, but thankfully, we end by seeing the Lord's faithfulness. Oh, even though we do sink, even though we go through some trouble, even though we fall down and we get worried and discouraged and get depressed, the Lord, oh, how faithful He is. You see, because where the Lord guides, God provides. Where He guides, He will provide. He may send you and I through the storm, but He will be with you in the midst of the storm. We see the Lord's rescue, verse 31. Immediately, he didn't take a whole lot of time because Peter was sinking. The Bible says immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him. God hears our call for help. Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Matthew 21 and verse 22, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Oh, dear friend, do you need help tonight? Do you need help tonight? Have you spent time asking Jesus to help you? We see the Lord's rescue. We also see the Lord's rebuke. Jesus says to Peter, oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter was on the right track. He was focusing on the Savior. But just like we do so oftentimes in life, we look at the circumstances, we look at the situation, we compare ourselves with other people, and we get discouraged. Oh, Peter just witnessed one of the greatest miracles, maybe the history of the world, the feeding of the 5,000. But in the midst of seeing a miracle, we still oftentimes, like Peter, get so discouraged. We have the Word of God. We have salvation in Jesus Christ alone. We know we have a home in heaven. We have the church to encourage us, brothers and sisters in Christ. But yet, in the midst of all these things, we realize the Spirit is willing. But the flesh is weak. Oh, how weak our flesh is. Like Peter, we know better. We simply do not do better. How the disciples respond after all this. The Bible tells us in verse 32, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Oh, there were storms outside the ship. But when the Savior got in the boat, the winds, the storm ceased. And what did they do? The Bible says, when he came into the ship and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. The disciples once again saw the Lord's wondrous power. The howling of the storm was over and suddenly still. We see this throughout the scriptures. When people get a true glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ, they worship. Remember that one in John chapter 9 who was born blind? John chapter 9, verse 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Even that maniac of Gadara, full of demons. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. After the resurrection, when people saw the resurrected Christ, his disciples, the Bible tells us, Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, and they came and they held him by the feet. And they worshiped him. They worshiped him. Oh, how we should worship the Lord Jesus. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and amen. Jesus deserves our worship, not just in the midst of the storm, but throughout our entire life. He deserves our worship. But when we go through difficulty, when we go through pain, when we go through problems, when we go through trials, when we go through tests, and Jesus does something miraculous in our life, he answers a prayer request, or he provides a need. Oh, in those times, how we worship him. How we worship him. Know this, dear friend. Our sovereign Lord can save you. He can rescue you in the midst of your storm. Even tonight, we've seen the Lord's foresight. We've seen the Lord's leader's focus. And we've seen the Lord's faithfulness. Oh, dear Christian, have you gotten your eyes off Jesus and on the storm? Have you gotten your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and on the circumstances that we're going through right now? The problems, the difficulties, the peculiar situation we're going through? Are you sinking down in depression? Are you sinking down in doubt? Are you sinking in discouragement? Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Oh, I was thinking this morning as I was reminding myself and looking over this sermon, this wonderful song, and I'm sure you remember it too. Cheer up, you saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to make you feel afraid. Nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails, so why not trust him and shout? You'll be sorry you worried it all tomorrow morning. Cheer up, saints of God. Cheer up, saints of God. And remember the words, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Friend, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Dear sinners, there have been a time in your life where you place your faith, your trust, in Jesus Christ alone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're going to go through storms. Pills are not going to help you. Prescription is not going to help you in the big picture. The only thing that's going to help you is the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the old rugged tree to pay and shed his blood to pay for your sins. Oh, dear friend, realize that you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself. Cry out to Lord Jesus to save you, and he will. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And once you ask him to save you from your sins, begin to live for him. The greatest life. It's after you trust Christ as your Savior. What a great decision that will be. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your life, to place your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ alone. Oh, dear friend, I hope you will. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to watch this sermon or listen to this sermon. May God be with you. May God save you. And may God help you. We ask these things. We pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen.